Welcome back again. Hope you didn't miss me. No. Well, we are back in our Hebrews series called God Speaks. If you've been journeying with us at all through this series, you'd know we've been touching on different ways that maybe God has spoken in the past or how God is still speaking to us today. One of the challenging things, I think, for us is listening to what is being said often, or sometimes even listening to what is not being said. With the world that we live in today, there's so many voices that are often clawing for our attention. It can be hard at times for any of us to discern what is the best voice to listen to. And this week, Tuesday night and Wednesday, I had the privilege to attend the Baptist Churches of South Australia's Inspire Conference that was hosted out at West Beach Community Church. And at the conference, there was a few different people sharing around the idea of listening and on how we can listen better. And one of the particular people was a pastor from our Aboriginal Berean churches in the Baptist circle here, and he shared some thoughts on the idea of not just listening, but he referred to it as deep listening. And it reminded me a bit of a story that I just wanted to share with you of an older couple who were sitting around watching television. The husband decided to go out for a drive. "Do you want me to get anything while I'm out?" he says. "Yes, get some ice cream. And while you're at it, get some topping. Oh, and bananas. I feel like a banana split. Do you want to write that down?" the wife asks. You know how you forget things." "Oh no," the husband replies. "You don't need to write it down. It's just three things: ice cream, topping, and bananas. I can remember that." He's gone about half an hour, came home and put a sack on the counter. She opened it up and pulled out the contents: a dozen eggs, a loaf of bread. And she looked at him in disgust. And she said, "You dummy, I told you you should have written it down. You forgot the bacon." And of course, we laugh and obviously we forgive as people get older. But the truth is, how often do we deeply listen? And that includes things like remembering. And the truth is it's not easy. And I've got a bit of a definition. Hopefully it's easy to read, but I'll read it out. A definition of deep listening. So it's the idea of suspending judgment and being fully present with another person to understand his or her experience or point of view. Deep listening involves hearing more than the words of the speaker, but taps into the deeper meaning, unspoken needs and feelings conveyed. In a sense, it is something that is done with the heart as well as the mind. And we even see this in Scripture as well. A number of times, one that I just pulled out is from Matthew 11, verse 15, where Jesus said, "Anyone with ears should listen." But he didn't just stop at listen, should listen and understand. And it's easy for us today to listen to lots of information, and pretty quickly as well. We have the news, social media, podcasts, chats with friends, church, newspapers. But until we start listening deeply to the things that we're hearing, the information that just comes in is just going to be washed out like the waves of an ocean. But when we learn to listen deeply, we listen with our hearts and minds, we will start to see changes in our lives. But the question then is for us, who do we listen deeply to today? And this was also actually the question that the author of Hebrews was addressing when he was writing to the Jewish people. Jewish people, if you know it all, hold very highly esteemed their history. Things like the prophets, the law, the Old Testament covenant, the priests. These were the things that the Jewish people listened to deeply for guidance on how they should live for centuries. But now the author was telling them that there was something better than these. Like the Hebrew church as well, for us in the world today, there are people that we probably listening to deeply for guidance in our lives. Maybe people like Elon Musk, Will Smith, the royal family, the World Health Organization, Oprah Winfrey, Ravi Zacharias, Billy Graham, Tom Cruise, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Tim Cook, Anthony Albanese, Jordan Peterson, Sir Donald Bradman, Greta Thunberg, Eddie Marburg, Dawn Fraser, Greg Norman, John Howard, and I'm sure that maybe you would have taken names off of that list or put names on to that list as well of people that we, over the years, have listened deeply to for guidance. And that's the truth, is that we all have people that we listen deeply to for guidance on how we should be living our lives today. But are these the best voices that we can listen to? Or is there someone better? As we work through the scriptures today, my prayer is that we will see with fresh eyes that there is someone better to listen to for guidance in our lives. And his name is Jesus Christ. Let me just pray before we jump any further into the message. Father, we just thank you for the fact that you have given us free will, Lord, to live here on this earth. But with the free will that you've given us, there comes a price that we can pay at times. If we choose to follow after the things of this world, we can miss out on the guidance that comes from you, your word, and your son. And so I pray, Lord, as we consider today the people that we've been listening deeply to, that you would challenge us to see that Jesus is better and that we should be listening deeply to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is better. That is the title of our message today. In the first six chapters of Hebrews, the author starts developing this very theme of Jesus Christ being better, greater, or superior to all, depending on the translation that you read from. And he does this by addressing four particular key areas. He talks about angels and creation, Moses and the prophets, Aaron and the priests, and kings. Areas that the Jewish people held with high regard when it came to guidance in their lives on how they lived. And which I believe also in areas today in our life we hold in high regard for how we live, but obviously with a different context. So let's jump straight in and look at Jesus is better than angels and creation. In the Jewish religion, angels played quite significant roles, mainly because of their first involvement of giving the law at Mount Sinai. If you don't know this, there were thousands of angels that assisted it. And it's mentioned in Acts chapter 7, verse 53. Angels were most likely to be God's first creation. We know from Job that they were actually present at the creation of the earth. So they were made before we were and the earth was shaped. And it mentions that in Job 38 verses 4 to 7. So the Jews had this view and importance of angels. And in order for them to believe that Jesus was better, he needed to have some superiority over them. And so we see the author of Hebrews starts to lay this out in chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. And it says, "This shows that the Son is far greater than angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. The Son is greater than the angels, for God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, 'You are my Son. Today I have become your Father.' God also said, 'I will be his Father and he will be my Son.' And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, 'Let all of God's angels worship him.'" Jesus is better than angels because he is the Son of God. Unlike angels who were created initially to serve God, we also see angels serving Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, we see that after Jesus has been tested in the wilderness, they come and serve him before he heads into his ministry. And then now we see that they also not only serve God and Jesus, but they serve us here on this earth. In Hebrews 1, 10 to 12, he says, he also says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing, and you will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same, and you will live forever." So not only is Jesus better than angels who are created beings, but now we can see clearly that Jesus is better than all creation and all created things, because he is the original creator of the universe. He was there when the angels themselves were created. He laid the foundation of the earth. He was there when the first animal breathed life, and he was there when mankind breathed its first breath. And not only that, he's here now, seeing all things that we've created, seeing all the things that we've done in years gone by. But one day, as it says, that he will do away with this creation and everything in it, everything that we've created or that's been created over the years. And he'll do so to prepare the way to bring a new and perfect creation. Jesus is better than angels and creation because he is the creator and is unchanging. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." But for us today, if we aren't careful, we can easily get swept away by the creations of the world. Things like the latest technology, we've got virtual reality becoming very prominent, electric cars, traveling into space is almost going to be available to the general public. Smartphones, cryptocurrencies, the idea of a cashless society. Amongst all this noise of creation and the things that we as human beings have created, it's no surprise that we find it at times difficult to hear the voice of Jesus, let alone have the chance to deeply listen to it. So Jesus is better than angels and creation, but Jesus is also better than Moses and the prophets. Like the angels in the Jewish religion, they held Moses in quite high regard, again, obviously because he was around at that time of the law that was being given from God to the people, and he was the prophet who delivered it. The prophets, they were messengers from God. They had been ordained by God, someone who had put, he had put words in their mouths to share with his people. But along with prophets being held in high regard and ordained by God, they were also held by high standards by God. If a prophet dared to claim falsely, God's name to what they are sharing, they must be put to death. So if the Hebrew church that the author was writing to was going to accept Jesus as a better prophet than even Moses, he would need to meet high standards. In chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, the author says, "Long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son." And then jumping down to chapter 3, I apologize, we're a bit over the place in the first six chapters of Hebrews. But in chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, he also says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus who we declared to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself." So Jesus met those high standards. He not only met them, but he significantly bettered them in three ways. The prophets, even Moses, we know, were all people who've been called by God. But the difference from Jesus was Jesus wasn't called, rather he was sent by God as his son. And the second thing is the prophets were many people over hundreds of years throughout the histories of the Old Testament. There were many different prophets that shared the message. But we know that Jesus is still one and only person, and so he is one and only prophet. And then the final thing is that as much as having many different prophets, it meant that these prophets shared broken, fragmented messages that were often incomplete. They didn't tell the full story. Whereas on Jesus' side of things, the message that he came to share was complete. It was the final message from the prophets. And so we can see that Jesus is better than Moses and the prophets because his message was final and his message is complete. Seeing Jesus as the final prophet, as they're biblically understood, it means that we shouldn't be surprised that we don't see a lot of new prophets popping up today trying to change the scriptures and declare new truths. But rather what we do see is we've seen a shift to this idea of a secular prophet, or what often referred to as a 21st century prophet. And these are people who are thinkers or agitators of ideas that they're trying to use for their own gain to shape civilization to their specific bent. And there's many different people in areas of things like ethics, the environment, employment, science, religion, sexuality. And we need to be aware of these people that are getting up and sharing their arguments, and they can be quite convincing. And at times, they can use the gospel message alongside their argument to convince us that this is where we should be more focused in. And sadly, even in my short time on this earth, I've seen a number of committed Christians who have got caught up in people who have been not prophesying, but speaking that it's not just Jesus, it's more than just Jesus. And through that, they have lost sight of the gospel. And sadly, even more, they've not only lost sight of the gospel, in time, I've seen people lose their faith and totally turn away from Jesus because he is not doing enough that the world is telling us to do. So Jesus is better than angels and creations. Jesus is better than Moses and the prophets. And then the next one is Jesus is better than Aaron and the priests. If you are here for our second message in this series, we touched on this specific topic that Jesus is our great high priest. and we investigated the importance of Jesus fulfilling that role. And I would encourage you, if you haven't heard that message, it's up on our website, and you can check out the full sort of deep dive into Jesus as our great high priest. But for today's message, I'm just going to cover briefly some of those points that we touched on. So we know that Aaron is Moses' brother, and Aaron was the first high priest ever chosen from the tribe of the Levites, which were the tribe that God had chosen to now carry out the priesthood line and role continuing forward. The priests, like the prophets, were people chosen by God. There was often several priests that were chosen, but only ever one high priest at a time. The priests were people who needed to be able to understand and sympathize with the people's needs so they could deal with them in a gentle manner. But most important, the role that the priests had was they were responsible for carrying out the Day of Atonement service, something that only took place once every year. But at this service, it was the time that all the people's sins would be forgiven and they would be able to start afresh. Yet the final thing the priests also had to take care of was that they were known as the mediators or interceders on behalf of God and the people. People couldn't go directly to God. They had to go to a priest who would go on their behalf with sacrifices and offerings. So again, if the Jewish people in the Hebrew church were going to consider Jesus as a better priest, he couldn't just carry out these duties as the human counterparts already were. He needed to exceed them. And in chapters 2, 4, 5, and 8 of Hebrews, the author touches on different areas where Jesus fulfills these duties far beyond what they needed to be. But I just wanted to touch on the one in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, and then also verse 6, where he says, "Here is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers to the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises." And as I mentioned, the scripture here that we looked at doesn't capture all the points that the priests carry out. But like Jesus fulfilled the role of the prophets perfectly, we also see that he fulfills the role of the high priest with perfection. Jesus was someone who was called by God, which is made evident in chapter 5 of Hebrews. Jesus can understand our needs because he's suffered and lived a life like we have lived. And we see that brought out in chapter 2 and chapter 4. And we know that Jesus fulfilled our atonement in chapters 2 and 5 of Hebrews. And finally, we've seen here in chapter 8 that Jesus is now mediating and interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And so from these passages, we can see that it's clear that Jesus fulfilled the role of the high priest according to the Old Testament. Yet while we compare him to those high priests, we need to remember that Jesus didn't just fulfill the role. He concluded it. He was the last high priest. Unlike the earthly priests that we compare him to, who were imperfect people, Jesus Christ is perfect in every way. And this is why he receives that title and is better than the priests. Jesus is better than Aaron and the priests because he is the great high priest. We acknowledge here that Jesus is our great high priest, but one thing that we also hold to is called the doctrine of priesthood of all believers. The doctrine of the priesthood of all believers means that anyone here that is a believer or who believes in Christ Jesus shares his authority and freedom to read and interpret and apply their learnings from the scriptures. There's no special process that we need to go through. We don't have to approach a priest or a father or anything like that, or even a pastor to call on his name. We all have direct access at any time. So then, if we all have this direct access to Christ, what is our responsibility? Well, our responsibility as followers of him is to be discerning from our own personal studies of Scripture, even our studies that we do in our home groups and gatherings, to be making sure that those who are in the church, who are leading the church on a Sunday, are speaking the truth. God doesn't want you as a follower of him just to go to church on Sunday and assume that everything that the pastor is saying is the only correct answer that you can receive. Even here at LCC, Colin and myself, we are the pastors, yes, but we are still human. And as all humans do, we will make mistakes. And it's at those times when you're spending time in God's Word and unpacking and interpreting the Scriptures and listening deeply to what it's saying, and something is not lining up with what we're saying or what you're hearing at church or your home group, it is an opportunity for us to lovingly come to one another, to learn and be corrected in ways that we need to. And if we do this well, what we'll see is a church continue to be built up in Christ. And so we've seen that Jesus is better than angels in creation. Jesus is better than Moses and the prophets. Jesus is better than Aaron and the priests. And finally, Jesus is better than all kings. The Jewish people did not have a magnificent view of kings from their life experience. The Roman emperors whose rule they used to live under saw them face lots of restrictions and often at times persecutions for their beliefs. But even if they didn't just look at the Roman rulers that they had, if they look back at their own Jewish history, the kings that they had in the Old Testament didn't fare very well as good examples to look to. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven." And when Jesus was being questioned about this title of king by Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 36, he answered this. He says, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." The Jewish people couldn't understand that Jesus' kingship was unlike any earthly kings they'd lived under or even heard about. The title of Jesus as king wasn't implying that he was a tyrant, a figurehead, or a malevolent ruler for a time like that experienced. When they refer to Jesus as king, we are referring to his eternal, perfect, righteous, loving, and sovereign reign. It says it quite well in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19b through to 22. It says, "This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand and in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So Jesus is better than all kings because his reign is eternal and sovereign over all things. So even though in the world today we have rulers like our national and state leaders, and recently we have a king again who's been placed over us on this earth, we should be diligent though not to lose sight of our sovereign king in heaven. Because when we lose sight of Jesus as our king, what starts to happen is we start to live comfortably here. We start to consider the earth as our home. And when that happens, when we start trying to make ourselves comfortable in the life we live here, we are going to find it harder to listen deeply to what Jesus is calling us to do. We need to remember that this world is not our final resting place. We are citizens of heaven where King Jesus is waiting for us. And so as we come to a close, the author of Hebrews has shown us that Jesus is better than angels and all creation. He is better than Moses and the prophets. He's better than Aaron and the priests. And he is better than any king that has lived. So as we look to who we should be listening to for guidance on how we live our lives, I believe and feel confident that we can listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus and his example as God continues to speak through him to us today. But the question is, as the challenges of life beat against and test our faith, only then will we know how deeply we have been listening. Has what we've been hearing on a Sunday morning, in our Bible studies, in our own personal studies, made our hearts believe? Before we pray, I just want to invite the worship team up because there's a song that just captures everything that we've been talking about here this morning.